I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Period. So we pray. Father, we do look to thee now. Bless thy word as we meditate upon it. Bless our hearts as we withdraw near to thee. We thank thee for thy provisions for us in Jesus' name. Amen. I think every person desires, feels the need of being useful. We need to feel wanted and useful. And there's a real satisfaction in life in being able to successfully fulfill a ministry and meet a need. And God has given us in His Word spiritual gifts. He's told us of the spiritual gifts that He has given to us, that we might have, each and every one, a fulfilling ministry, a satisfying service for Him. And this is what makes life thrilling. I think this past year has been, for me, one of the most thrilling, satisfying experiences in my whole life. It's just been such a blessing to be able to share with you and have you share with me the things of God. And as we see in God's Word, He has a definite, satisfying ministry for every believer. The idea that church is a place where you go, put on a long face, and fulfill your obligation and go out back to normal human life again is certainly a long ways, a far cry from what God has for us. And the Christian life and the ministry that each of us has before God is meant to make our lives the most exciting thing we can imagine. We'd like to deal tonight with some of the questions you've had. Remember 2 weeks ago we asked you to give us some of your questions. Tonight we would like to deal with some of the areas of the gifts that have been still puzzling us. I say puzzling us. I don't want you to get the idea that I am an authority. I'm learning along with you in many of these areas. And I believe that God still has a lot of things He wants to teach us. And so tonight we'd just like to go through some of the areas that we still have not been able to cover. I won't pretend to answer all of your questions. There are some things I still cannot answer, I'm sure. Some questions that that we still need to look to the Lord for. But I believe God has opened up to us here some possibilities. Some possibilities in bringing us as a church to a sense of personal fulfillment and corporate relationship that we just haven't seen any place before. I believe God has some truly great things in store for us as we discover and implement the gifts that He has given to each of us. First of all, let's deal tonight with why the gifts are important. Spiritual gifts, why they are important. First of all, spiritual gifts are important because they provide ability for service. Nobody likes to do something they can't do very well. And God, through spiritual gifts, provides the ability to do that which He desires of us. Now, natural birth is the time when God gives us the abilities that we need for our role in the human race. The time of natural birth, God gives us our natural abilities to survive and function as a member of the human race. At the time of our spiritual birth, God gives us abilities that we need for our role in the body of Christ, to fulfill that which He has for us to do in the church, which is His body. The gifts are important, secondly, because they make the Christian life exciting, really exciting. The word gifts, first of all, in the original, we have the word kara, which means joy. The word charis, which means grace, which is grace basically the desire and ability to do God's will. And thirdly, we have charisma, which is gift, service to the body of Christ. And so you see how the gifts, the word for gifts, contains also the word for grace and for joy. And so the gift that God gives us to be of service to His body is that desire and ability to do His will that brings great joy into our lives. And so spiritual gifts are important because they make the Christian life exciting. In third place, the spiritual gifts are important because they give a sense of fulfillment. Now, we help other people best in the area of our gift. So for this reason, we talked a while back, remember, on blind spots, discovering your blind spots. Since we help one another best in the area of our gift, if you want to know your blind spots, go to someone who has a gift not the same as yours. Now, if you go to a person who has the same gift you have and say, "Brother, I would like to improve my Christian life, and I wonder if you could give me some help," he would probably say, "Hey, you're great." And that's about all you would get out of him. If you really want help, you go to the person who has a gift differing from yours, and he'll see a lot of ways where you can improve. And so gifts are important because it enables us to really help one another. We can help one another best in the area of our own particular gift. Then, of course, the other is true. We judge people in the area of our own weakness. we help one another best in the area of our own gifts, but in the area of our own weaknesses where we judge one another. That's what Paul says in Romans. In Romans, Paul mentions that we, he that judgeth, I think all the verse starts now, who art thou, O man, that judgest? For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, because thou that judgest doest the same thing. And so the area in which I judge a brother is the very same area in which I am weak. That's why I am judging him. And so, in fact, if I want to find out some of my blind spots, all I need to do is just take our little green sheet, the members and friends of the Lake Drive Baptist Church, and just go down that little sheet. And what's the first thing that occurs to you concerning a certain brother? This. Well, if this is in the area of your gift, you are discerning his need, and God has given you the ability to help him, and you should be working on some projects for helping him. If this is not in the area of your gift, you're judging him, and that means God's saying to you, you have a weak spot here that you need to work on. And the reason you see his need, the reason that comes to your mind, is because you relate to that need, and you need to work on it. And you come to another brother, and nothing comes to your mind there, well, go right on. You see, it's a tremendously helpful exercise, determining our areas of gift and our areas of need. And so the gifts are helpful in that we can help one another in our blind spots. Next, gifts are important. Gifts are important because they help us to understand the role of others. Gifts enable a church to coordinate and unify its members. God coordinates and unifies Christians by means of giving us an understanding of what the gifts are, what the characteristics of those gifts are, and what the misunderstandings of those gifts are. So those are perhaps the four reasons why gifts are important. Secondly, then, each Christian has only one motivational gift. Now, we have some reasons for this. First of all, gifts are compared to members of a body. You remember we just read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 4 that we are members of the body of Christ. And each of us is a member of the body of Christ. And each of us is one member, just as our body. I have two hands, but this is just one hand. And this hand has particular gifts. This hand also has particular gifts. Not exactly the same, even though they're very similar. And we are members of the body of Christ, and so each member has one particular strong point and ability. The eye has the ability to see, and the ear cannot see. And when the eye tries to take over the function of the ear, it doesn't do a very good job. Secondly, each is told to concentrate on his gift. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, Paul says very specifically that if your gift is in the area of prophecy, then you should give yourself to prophecy. If your gift is in the area of ministry, then you should wait on your ministry. You should give yourself to that. If in teaching, you should give yourself to that. In other words, we are commanded to concentrate upon our particular gift. And it's very, very difficult to concentrate on two things at the same time. And when we try to do that, we don't do either of them very well. You try to listen to two conversations at the same time. You don't do either of them very well. And God wants us to concentrate upon our gift. And to really be able to do that, we have to have just one gift. A singleness of vision, a oneness of purpose. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And we need one thing to concentrate on. Third place, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, Peter refers to gifts. And in that particular reference, the word for gift is in the singular. 1 Peter 4:10, Peter says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Now, Peter here tells us very specifically, the word gift is in the singular, and we are to take that gift and use it in ministering to each other as stewards of God's grace, which, of course, if you remember, is related also to the word gift. And in the fourth place, you'll notice, or you remember as we study the gifts, the chief danger under each of the gifts was pride. Remember, as we studied each one, we studied the characteristics, and then we studied the dangers. And the dangers under each and every one, the first one was pride. And here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 also, we find the same thing. Paul, before he begins to talk about the gifts, list them out. He mentions, "I say through the grace given to me unto every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Just thinking, now let's see, what is my gift now? I believe this is my gift. And right there, I begin to think, God, why? You know, that's my gift. That's what I am. The temptation is for pride, even with one gift. Can you imagine what the temptation to pride would be with more than one gift? And so the pride of two gifts would be absolutely humanly unbearable. God has given us one gift on which to concentrate, and we need to be very careful about pride, even with just that one gift. In the next place, we sometimes confuse the reason, sometimes we don't understand this of having only one motivational gift, is that we sometimes confuse motivational gifts and ministry gifts. Now, let's take a look at the chart again that we used at one of our very first sessions. On the chart here, we have the gifts divided into three categories. We have motivational gifts, ministry gifts, and the manifestation. Now, one of the reasons why sometimes we might be confused into thinking that, well, maybe I have two gifts, is a confusion of the motivational gift with the ministry gift. Perhaps God has given the gift of in one of these areas, maybe the gift of proclaiming truth, but I like to do it on a teaching basis, and so I think, well, maybe I'm a proclaimer of truth and also a teacher. But the teacher is in the ministry area and not in the motivational area. You see, we have to have one motivation. Now, we can have several ministries, but we can only have one motivation, one thing that drives us. Paul says, "This one thing I do." And we need to have one motivation only. And this motivation could come through any combination of ministry. And if we can become confused by a ministry that we enjoy without realizing that actually our motivation is different. And so we need to, if we have a conflicting thoughts here, we need to seriously consider, am I thinking about a ministry that I enjoy doing without considering actually what is my basic motivation? Basic motivational gift. And so our three kinds, or rather our three basic divisions here would help us in finding out what is basically our motivational gift over against our ministry gift. But basically we can only have one motivation. Now, another thing that might help us understand this is that we find in the Word of God that each of us is commanded to perform all seven activities. You say, well, I feel I have a certain motivational gift, but there are other things that I do also. Well, that's true. And in the Word of God, we're commanded to perform all seven activities. For example, prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. We read, make love your aim and seek to prophesy. Now, this is a general commandment. And so, basically, we all, to some extent, have to participate in this activity of proclaiming truth. We do that when we witness to someone. We proclaim truth. And we're all commanded to do this. Secondly, serving. Galatians 5:13, we're commanded through love, serve one another. No matter what my motivational gift is, I'm commanded to participate in the activity of serving. My brethren in Christ, serving one another. The matter of teaching. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things. We have a very definite teaching activity here. And many times we will participate in this activity, even though our basic motivational gift is not that of teaching. Exhorting, Hebrews 3:13. We're commanded to exhort one another daily. We're all commanded to do this. Participate in exhortation of one another. Giving, Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. We are commanded to give. And all of the members of the body of Christ participate in giving. Even though that might not be the motivational gift of the person. Ruling. 1 Timothy 3:4, referring to ruling well his own household. We read that there are those who have responsibilities of ruling who might not necessarily have the motivational gift of ruling, of administration. And in the seventh place, mercy, Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens. We need to participate many times in the activity of mercy, bearing one another's burdens, even though we do not have that motivational gift. Now, the important thing is that each activity is performed through our own basic motivation. For example, the person who has the gift of mercy. That means every one of these activities that he performs would be aimed at relieving hurts. His basic motivation in any of these other areas would be mercy. If, while he is teaching, teaching them to observe all things, he would really be enjoying himself as he is teaching people to be sensitive to the hurts of others. His giving would be slanted towards relieving the hurts of others. In his ruling, he would be very conscious of the feelings of those that were under his particular authority. And so all of these activities, when he needs to perform them, are performed through his own basic motivation. Now, we find that there is then a minimum weariness and a maximum joy and effectiveness when we realize other activities through our motivation. As we perform any of these other activities, we find that the greatest joy in doing them, And the greatest effectiveness in doing them is when we do them through our own individual, personal, motivational gift. Now, the reverse is also true, that when we try to imitate someone else's motivation, it'll wear you out. You might feel you have to do it, you might want to do it, you might work at it, and it'll wear you out. Trying to perform that activity that you're commanded to do. And the reason is that you're trying to imitate someone else's motivation rather than performing that activity through your own personal motivation. Now, let's look briefly at some of the basic requirements for discovering our motivational gift. Now, these are found in Romans chapter 12. If you'd like to just take your Bible, Romans chapter 12 that we read previously, and look at some of these verses. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. What is the first basic requirement for discovering our gift? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Let's have a little participation here. All right. The first basic requirement for discovering our motivational gift is complete commitment to Jesus Christ. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Complete commitment as the first step towards discovering our motivational gift. What's the second step? Verse 2. Okay, what's the positive of that? Okay, be transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. The second step then is a renewing, a complete transformation of our way of thinking through meditation and Scripture. Learning to think the way God thinks. The second very important step in discovering our motivational gift is the transformation of our minds. We've got to learn to think the way God thinks so that He can reveal to us His particular plan for our lives in His church. Thirdly, what's the third step? Verse 3. Okay. Brokenness, right? The danger here mentioned is pride. And we've got to deal with pride. Because as long as I think that, oh, there's a gift that I would really like to have, wouldn't that be a good one to have? I would really like that one. And wouldn't I feel great if I had that one? And as long as there's an element of pride, of desiring perhaps something that God doesn't have for me, I'll have trouble finding my motivational gift. And so there has to be that complete brokenness. God, where do you have me in this picture? Sometimes we have our own idea where we would like to be on the chart. And that poses problems. So there needs to be a brokenness, a doing away with pride. The fourth thing, verses 4 and 5, the fourth step in discovering our motivational gift. Okay, this is a little subtler. He's talking here about relationships between members of the body of Christ, right? In other words, it's very important. You see, these gifts are for the body. And we are members of one body. And we have relationships between the members of the body. Now that means that for me to discover my gift, I have to have relationships. My gift then is discovered as I become involved with people. And it's very possible that if I am not really involved with people, I'll have trouble discovering my gift. Because the gift is for that. The gift is for ministry to others. The gift is for ministry to the body. And until I become involved in relationships with the body, I have difficulty discovering what is my basic motivation. And so sometimes we need to just get ourselves involved with people to be able to discover what is my motivation. Because the motivation comes out in our involvement with people. We are members one of another. What's the next step? Verse 6. The first part of verse 6. We have what kind of gifts?
Different.
Right. We have differing gifts. And Paul here, I believe, is trying to remind us that we are different. We have differing gifts. And one of the hindrances toward discovering my motivational gift is my unwillingness to accept a differing gift. In other words, the desire to imitate someone else's gift. And so, as I would desire to imitate the gift of someone else, I'll find it increasingly difficult to discover my gift. And so attempts at the imitation of the ministry of other people. Maybe someone has a ministry that I admire, and I attempt to imitate that ministry. I'll find it increasingly difficult to discover my gift. And so we have differing gifts. And then the last one, verses 7 and 8. I think verses 7 and 8, the last step, we might say, towards discovering our motivation. Paul tells us here that we should specialize on our particular gift. If it's prophecy, on prophesying. If it's on ministering, on ministry and ministering. I think Paul is trying to tell us here that we need to learn what it is that we really enjoy doing. Now, he tells us that if your gift is serving, concentrate on that, and because that is the thing that's going to really make you happy. And so we need to then ask ourselves why certain activities appeal to us, why certain things are of special interest to us. Why do I especially enjoy doing a certain thing? Now, we've developed often an idea in Christianity that serving Christ has to be all grit and gumption, and the joy is when we get to heaven. And God has just told us the opposite. God tells us that doing the thing He wants us to do is the greatest thing we could think of. For example, let's go down the list. Here we have the list. The list of the gifts. Now you look at this list and think to yourself, now, the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. Well, just for review, the gift of prophecy, proclaiming truth. How are we going to do this? Let me read these off for you, maybe that'll be the easiest. The gift of prophecy, revealing unrighteous motives or actions in presenting God's truth. From our study of that gift, you remember what it's about. You think of the gift of prophecy, of proclaiming truth. How does that strike you? Would you really have real joy in doing something like that? Say, well, I don't know if that appeals to me or not. Then you put here, well, not exactly. And what about effort? Would there be little felt effort? Yeah, well, that would be hard work for me. So I guess no, that would really be a lot of work. That would really be a drag on me. Well, then, you know, what about serving? What about the gift of serving, meeting the practical needs of others, demonstrating love by meeting these practical needs? I could enjoy something like that, I suppose. Now, what about effort? I don't know. Just that would be an awful lot of work for me. It just seems like it would be hard. I don't know. What about teaching? The researcher, do you love to get into the books and find out all the deep doctrines? And no, that just, you know, just that would be law. That would be pure slavery, for as far as I'm concerned. What about exhortation? Stimulating the faith of others. Yes, well, I think that you know, could be enjoyable. But what about felt effort? Well, I guess I'd have to work a lot, and I think that would be hard for me to do that, maybe. And what about giving? Oh, yes, well, that would give me great joy, and I enjoy giving. But as far as the gift of, as we studied it, of entrusting personal assets to others for the furtherance of their ministry, and as far as the gift of giving, organizing my activities towards these, gaining these assets for the investment, I just would be no good there. Now, what about ruling? No, I don't enjoy that, and that would be hard work. And what about the gift of mercy? Identifying with and comforting those who are in distress, and say, well, I really enjoy that, and you know, I can just sit for hours. Whoops. I really enjoy that. And I could just sit for hours and really listen to people and feel for people. And it's just no struggle. And someone else, he listens a couple of minutes and, you know, I've got it. All right, that's your problem. But I can really feel for people. And I enjoy. I don't begrudge them the time at all. And this is where I really feel at home. And we need to go down the list of the gifts and find out now, what's the thing that would really make me the happiest? And what's the thing that just would seem to me the least effort? Now, I don't say little effort. I say little felt effort. Now, you might have the gift of the researcher and put a lot of work into your research. But, you know, 4 hours will go by and say, oh, where'd that time go? You felt no effort at all. And when those 4 hours were done, you were fresh as a daisy and happy as a lark. Now, somebody else would have felt that they had just been under the greatest oppression they could imagine, but not you. And so, as you go down the list, what is the thing that really gives me joy? And what's the thing that I just don't even know when the time goes by? Because although I might work hard, there's no felt effort. You see that what that does for your Christian life? Your energy is boundless because you aren't using it. Since there's little felt effort. And when you've expended a lot of effort, you haven't even felt it. And your joy is boundless because you're doing just exactly what you want to do. And that's basically what God wants. Now, there's a problem here. Others might mistake your gift. If you are successful in an area that is exhausting to you. You might be doing something and you might be doing a good job. And others might think, now, that's his gift. And they don't realize what that's taking out of you. That is, for you, is work. And you're killing yourself at it. And they don't realize it because you're enjoying the success that you're getting from it. And they think it's your gift. And they might even say, hey, it's obvious. You've got a gift for, this is your gift. And they're all wrong. Because they don't realize that you aren't really getting top joy with minimum effort. Minimum felt effort. And so you're the one that has to decide. We could take a poll and say tonight, all right, now we got brother so-and-so and he's a little confused as to his gift. Let's take a poll. Now, how many say he has the gift of prophecy? Or how many say he has the gift of serving? They might be all wrong because they don't know how you really feel. They don't know what really makes you happy. And they don't know what really is effort for you. Because you might be very successful in an area that you're working hard at, but actually is a real chore to you. Now, we have here then the seven gifts. And we need to go down the chart and ask ourselves, God, what is the gift that you have for me? What is it that you want me to do? Where do you want me to concentrate my efforts? The Word tells us we should concentrate on our gift. And we need to find out what it is and start putting the effort there. And then, all these other things that we do, we have to do other things. All these other things that we do from our basic motivational gift. And we find then that doing these other things from our basic motivational gift, we have added joy and less effort in doing the things that are not in our gift area as well. Jesus made a statement to his disciples. Matthew 11, 28, 29, 30 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, serving Christ should be the most exhilarating thing that there is. Performing our function in the body of Christ should be the most joy-producing and effortless thing that we can think of. Because he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And if serving, if what I'm doing for God isn't really giving me joy, if what I'm doing for God is really draining my strength, then I'm not performing the area of the basic motivation that he has for me. The key then to a joyous Christian life is performing the gift that he's given to us. And the key to discovering that gift is complete commitment of body and mind to him. And as we commit ourselves to him and sidestep some of these possible traps that would cause us to misunderstand our gift, we'll find then what is the truly satisfying Christian life.